Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Commanders. And it's a game week on The Fan. Sunday, 1 p.m., Commanders against the New York Giants. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, time to catch up with our buddy Michael Phillips. What's going on, MP?
Yeah, very happy game week to you. Looking forward to this one. It's going to be a fun opener.
Yep, anytime we get MP on the line and it's football season, it's time for Commanders Crosstalk on The Fan.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on The Fan. It's like that one 90s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on The Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
Michael, is there any person in particular that you are worried will pop up on the first injury report of the season?
Yeah, I'm probably watching the offensive line more than anything, right? Brandon Coleman, you're already down Sam Cosmi. He's not going to show up. He's on IR. You don't want to lose Brandon Coleman as well. And, we haven't heard anything from Laremy Tunsil, but he's been fairly limited in what he's done in the open practices the last couple of weeks. I think my concerns on the offensive line, Noah Brown did that full workout before the preseason game, the third one against Baltimore. Feeling good about his status right now, and I don't think the Terry thing is anything. I think that was a contract negotiation situation.
Michael, if I asked you surprise X factor for the Commanders in week one or this season, how would you take that question? My buddies and I have been arguing about what we consider to be a surprise X factor or not.
Well, while we've been talking so much, Bill, how about Chris Rodriguez, right? All he did in the preseason was that great run on the scoring drive with the ones. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he's a major factor in week one. And we see, that growth and development they've been seeing from him, where he's a little bit tougher, a little bit more physical at the spot of attack. I don't think it's going to be a surprise to me if he plays well, but I think we're talking so much Bill Kroski-Merritt. I think a 60 to 70-yard game with a touchdown from Chris Rodriguez would surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, I think we're kind of on the same page here with our surprise X factors. You went with two running backs. I'm going with the running game. My surprise X factor is tight end John Bates. He was just so good in the preseason. There's a reason he got paid, and I even think it's going to be more than just blocking. Like, I'm expecting him to make maybe a catch, maybe two catches. I just think he's going to be on the field so often that eventually, if the running game is working, play action, they could maybe slip it to him for a little five-yard catch. He did that in the postseason last year, but really I'm pointing to him as a surprise X factor because I think him plus the offensive line will lead to a better rushing attack this season.
I'm sure he's grown. I'm sure he's practiced. I'm sure he's learned. But Adam, when he catches those 5-yard routes, I need him falling to the ground, stop, drop, and roll school kid style. I do not want him attempting to run with the ball. I do not want him attempting to make things happen. We've seen that go wrong one too many times. I love the idea of throwing it to him. I love the idea of getting 5 yards, as long as he is under the very explicit instructions that he is not to try to make something happen afterward, because that does not end well.
Yeah, but in terms of the blocking, I'm pretty confident we're going to have one explosive run in which you can see on the replay John Bates' blocking certainly helped it out and really gave the running back a hole to go through. Who are you predicting will get more touches in week one? Deebo Samuel, Terry McLaurin?
Well, I think it's Deebo just because he's so versatile. I think you give him those early touches to just make the defense sit on its heels a little bit more, right? He goes in motion. He does the jet sweep. You can do a touch pass to him. There's so many different ways you can feed Deebo Samuel the ball. And I think that every time you do a new method of giving him the ball, it gives the defense something else to think about. You know, Terry's going to get his, and obviously he's very good at contested catches. But I just think every time you use Deebo, the whole offense is going to get better, and I think that you'll see him get a running touch and a receiving touch in the first quarter of the game, just to put everybody on notice. This is another weapon you've got to plan for.
Yeah, I really think they're going to force feed Deebo week one, like we asked them to force feed Terry for a lot of last season. I think they're going to try to get the ball into his hands early and see what he can bring to the offense as a different dimension. Let's move over to the defensive side of the ball here, and the talk all summer has been, can this secondary be improved? Well, I think the talent level is better when you consider Amos added to Lattimore and Sanger still. Will Harris's addition there. And I think we're going to see Jeremy Reeves, often on the defensive side of the ball. Do you think this secondary will create a turnover in week one, Michael?
Oh, I hope so. I'd love that. Getting Russell Wilson's head early, that'd certainly be a key to victory there. And I do think it'll be more about containment than playmaking. The Giants are going to come in with a playmaking mentality on defense. They need to sack James Daniels. They need to make it third and long. They need to get them behind the sticks. They need to make plays to win this game. And not that this is, not that Grambling State's coming to town or anything, but I do think the path to victory for the Commanders defense is going to be to limit the explosive plays, to make sure you're covered downfield, to make sure there's somebody on those great receivers they have, the Malik Neighbors of the world. Every time they're going deep, make sure they don't have the opportunity. It's always double coverage. I don't think the Giants can win this game 5 yards at a time. I just don't think they're built for it. I don't think they've got the discipline for it. I think it's really going to come down to making sure Russ gets the ball out quick. It has to get the ball out quick, and the receivers are covered when they go downfield. Anything else you get beyond that is a bonus. But, yeah, if you get him into the fourth quarter and he's pressing, you certainly can get an interception on him and create a fumble in the run game. Those takeaways did not come often last year. I think that's – if we're going to talk about the reasons the defense was the way it was last year, you start with didn't get the ball out of the other team's hand enough. A lot of those things are cyclical. They practice them all the time, obviously, but we've seen teams that struggle in turnovers or takeaways one year be really good at it the next year, and so you're hoping for a little bit of that statistical, in this case, a regression that's a positive regression for the Commanders.
Michael Phillips with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. MP on the mic from 10 to noon here on Richmond's home for the Commanders. And I'm going to be talking at 1 p.m. on the Richmond Commander about the Yahoo Sports lead article from today. Jaden Daniels and the Commanders support system will change the NFL. He's going to be really good for a really long time. I think he's only going to get better. That was a quote from linebacker Zach Bond from the Philadelphia Eagles. But the quote that stood out to me in the article was, staff hires, extra walkthroughs, and a calculated playbook progression contributed to Washington's rapid turnaround. When I say calculated playbook progression, what example would you point to? Because I look at like week one versus week three against the Bengals, and they just called a completely different game.
Yeah, and you can also go week one versus playoff week one, because that's same opponent, same site, right? You're in Tampa week one, and then you're back in Tampa for the playoff game, and you look at the things he did taking the team on his back late in that playoff game that he didn't do in week one, and he looked a little skittish with the ball in week one, and that's Yeah, that's what Texas is hoping Arch Manning does, right? Over the course of this season, he looks skittish in the horseshoe. Well, when you get to the playoffs, can he transform into a different guy along the way? I know you love talking about the VR headset, so I got to bring that into this conversation too. I think they just did a really nice job of making sure he was ready for everything he was going to see over the course of the season. And I mentioned it during my show. I loved watching Garrett Nussmeier for LSU this weekend, and it's got me thinking, like, I think LSU's developing quarterback. You look at Burrow, Daniels, and now Nussmeier playing so well out of the gate there. You know, they kind of pioneered that VR concept. I think there's something to it, and I think there's something to the way they're using it that really sets young guys up for success. I'm big on Nussmeier after this weekend. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he goes shooting up draft boards. The way he processed the game against a really good Clemson defense, you saw a lot of that from Jaden Daniels as the year went on last year, too. I just think he's really well prepared for everything he sees on that football field.
So week one, Sunday against the New York Giants. Cliff Kingsbury, this could be his final season calling plays for the Commanders. If it goes successfully, I think he will be a head coach again. How complicated of an offense will you expect Cliff to have week one? I kind of expect, you know, a little bit more complicated than last year, but also I think there's going to be a ton of quick passes.
He had 20 games last year, so yeah, this is week 21 of the Cliff Kingsbury offense. I think you've got the offensive lineman you bring in. You start with Laremy Tunsil. I think he can handle anything you throw at him scheme-wise. I do think this is an offense that has enough continuity. They can make a year-to-year jump. You add in Debo Samuel, the things you can throw at him. I think they're capable of that. I also think they'll probably show about half of it because you can't really install on the short week going to Green Bay. And I saw their schedule. They're going to practice that Wednesday before they travel to Green Bay, sneak in an extra practice. It's hard to install plays on the short week, though. Wouldn't surprise me at all, if this is half the playbook and we'll see the other half at Lambeau next Thursday. But I agree with you. There's a lot they can do. The quick passing, get him comfortable, get Jaden comfortable, get the crowd behind him. It's going to be a great crowd on Sunday. Everybody sees that. Just make sure everybody's got a reason to cheer right out of the gate.
That's Michael Phillips. MP on the mic can be heard from 10 to 12 noon. I'm 12 to 3 here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We'll go behind enemy lines with a Cowboys reporter next on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's A-Wad, live and local here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck on a Tuesday, September 2nd. College football season fully underway. We had a taste of it with week zero. Week one was awesome. We went through some of the upsets earlier in the show today. We'll go on University Drive, talk all things college football in the state of Virginia at 2:15. Hokie Steve will join us in an hour at 2 p.m. But it's 1 p.m. here on AWOD Radio, and it's a game week for the Washington Commanders taking on the Giants. It's time for the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for some?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
Phone lines are open. You can predict the stars of week one. 833-804-0910. Call AWOD, 833-804-0910, or tweet me at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Who will make the most plays in week one? So we'll start with the wide receivers, and Terry McLaurin is back, right? Scary Terry is back. Ended up being a nothing burger of a story. He gets that contract. I think both sides won between Adam Peters and Terry and his agent. I'm so glad it's over. Now, how much do we expect to see him in week one? I think the way it worked out, he had plenty of time to get up to speed. And I think he will play so much and get fed so often that we will forget the holdout even happened. But I do predict Cliff Kingsbury is going to force feed the ball to Deebo Samuel rather than Terry McLaurin. I think the plan will be to get Deebo involved early in the game, get him a few touches, and then work some of the intermediate and deeper routes to Terry McLaurin. So I'm predicting Deebo Samuel will have the most touches of any Commander in week one against the Giants. I do expect, like Michael said, in the first quarter he'll get a handoff, whether it's an end around or you know, a pass behind the line of scrimmage or a screen pass. They're going to put the ball into his hands. I really feel that way. So I think he will get the most touches of anybody on the Washington Commanders week one. Then it will be Terry and then probably Zach Ertz. My question is, how much will we see Zach Ertz? I think we're going to see a lot. I do not think we saw anything in preseason to feel like, all right, Ben Sennett's ready. If anything, we saw that John Bates is once again going to be a huge part of this offense with his blocking and an extra piece on the offensive line. He's basically a sixth offensive lineman. So let's get to the running backs. We asked Michael Phillips, heck, we asked every single reporter, who's going to line up next to Jaden Daniels, snap one, play one? We heard different answers. Chris Rodriguez, Bill, could it be Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt? Michael says maybe it's just five wide. Let Jaden Daniels take the snap and run himself or throw it with a quick pass. I'm sticking with Austin Ekeler. We'll be in the backfield next to Jaden Daniels. I think Austin Ekeler will get the most carries of running backs in week one. I think we'll find out more when Dan Quinn speaks tomorrow to the media. It's going to be very interesting who's in the backfield next to Jaden and how much they run. Now, remember, Cliff Kingsbury notoriously likes to pass. Right, he's the air raid offense guy. And the thing is that he will call passing plays, and Jaden Daniels will just run because he sees an opening or he scrambles. So I don't know how many running plays Cliff Kingsbury will call, but I do think Austin Ekeler will get the most carries. And then it'll be very interesting. Is it Bill, or do they hold him out? I actually like what Michael's talking about, which is hold him out week one and let him have fresh legs on the road in Lambeau week two for Thursday Night Football. Give him a look they've never seen before because he hasn't played a snap in the NFL in Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. Week one, you go with the guys you trusted last year, Austin Ekeler, McNichols, and Chris Rodriguez, who was the fourth quarter man last year. Can he be the first quarter man this year? But I think my biggest question for week one that I have is, will we notice an improvement in the offensive line? I believe so. I really do. I'm predicting we'll see an improvement because maybe Jaden will get sacked less, or Jaden will have to scramble less, or maybe they'll just be able to run more. We'll find out who the exact starters will be on the offensive line, I believe, by Wednesday or Thursday. But we know about Laremy Tunsil, and we know Brandon Coleman's healthy at left guard, and we know how good Tyler Biadasz is at safety or at center. I will be keeping my eye on how successful Jaden, Deebo, or every running back are at running left. I want this team to be dominant when they run left behind the left side of the offensive line. Over to the defensive side of the ball. Who will make the most plays? Week one against the New York Giants. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. I think it starts with the secondary. I'm hoping for a turnover, and I think you have to look at safety Quan Martin, who had the big play against the Detroit Lions. He was really good in preseason. He was one of my 10 stars of training camp. I feel like he's more confident. He's more comfortable. And I think last year, the success, not just that the team had, but that he had individually, changed his outlook on what kind of player he can be in the National Football League. I think last year he was like a fringe, could get cut piece, right? He was part of the Rivera era. He didn't mean anything to these guys here. You've seen how they've moved on from so many guys that they did not draft or they did not sign. But then he was so good last year that I think the coaching staff has kind of changed their outlook on him, and Quan Martin's probably changed his outlook on how good he can be in the National Football League. We'll have our eyes on new safety Will Harris. I do expect Jeremy Reeves to get an opportunity in the safety position also. And then I'm looking for Lattimore, Sanderson, and Amos against the weapons that Russell Wilson will have for him and the New York Giants. Who will we have on Malik Nabers? I'd probably like to see Lattimore get the first try, and then you might go to Sanderson. Who leads us in tackles? As I predicted, I'm going with Frankie Louvu. I think this is the year that he is an all-pro first-team linebacker, and I think he will take over Bobby Wagner in terms of leading us in tackles this season. And then defensively, you look at who's the threat to bring down Russell Wilson, and will we get a sack? How many sacks will we get? We didn't do a good enough job in that last year, and you lose your sack leader in Dante Fowler Jr. That means, all right, who's going to be the new sack leader this year? We've pointed to Von Miller, Dorrance Armstrong, maybe Frankie Louvu as well. They have got to pressure the quarterback better this year. That has to be an emphasis. I think Dan Quinn knows that too. And when you look back at last year, they played against Russell Wilson, right? They played against Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Russell Wilson was able to get the ball off against Washington, and that changed the game. It really did. It was a 28-27 win for the Steelers. It was a back-and-forth game that they won late because Russell was able to release the ball downfield to Mike Williams before the edge rushers got to him. He has a great deep ball. He's got a good lollipop pass where he can kind of drop it in a bucket. That's always been his big strength. You have got to get him off of his spot. You cannot let him sit back, especially on third downs and with one-on-one coverage, because that's where he will burn you. His accuracy on the deep ball is why he has made his living in the National Football League. And lastly, in terms of who will make the plays, Virginia Tech had a disaster of a special teams play. I think the Virginia Tech Hokie Jalen Lanes can have a big special teams play on Sunday. Jalen Lane at punt returner. I'm not sure who will be the kick returner. Don't have much confidence, to be honest with you guys, in Matt Gay at kicker. It's unfortunate because I know that this was a position that Adam Peters wanted to solidify this offseason. That's why they brought in Matt Gay so early. Didn't give me too much confidence in preseason, but that will be something to keep an eye on because, remember, the Giants didn't win many games last year, but they had Washington on the ropes. It was 18-18. Washington made 6 field goals. In week 2, Jaden Daniels had to lead them down the field for the 7th made field goal that ended up being the difference in a 21-18 victory. I'm expecting it to be a battle. I really am, because I think the Giants' defense is much improved, and all eyes will be on Abdul Carter. And then, you know, offensively, they just had awful quarterback play last year, but they did have good running back play from Tyrone Tracy. So you got to stop the run, and then you got to be able to stop play action, because that's Russell Wilson's best ability is the play action and the deep shot. He wants to create some explosive plays. I'll have my eyes on the secondary this weekend for the Washington Commanders. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. Who will make the most plays? 833-804-0910. Is there a guy I'm sleeping on? Maybe it could be Jalen Lane. Maybe it's Noah Brown. Luke McCaffrey, I kind of doubt it after he didn't show up much in the preseason. Is there a playmaker I'm forgetting about? 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. You're listening to AWOD here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan. now at 105.1 FM. We'll go around the National Football League with our news and notes ahead of Week 1. We'll bring on Lane Casadante to run around local sports in Richmond, Virginia at 1:30, and Hokie Steve for some college football talk at 2 p.m. This is AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Appreciate you guys sticking with 910 The Fan after my beach week trip to close out the summer. It's now time for all things football here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. You're home for the Hokies and the Hoos, high school football game of the week, and the Washington Commanders, as well as the most NFL talk in town with the Sports Junkies Monday through Friday. Michael Phillips is 10 to noon. I'm 12 to 3, AWOD Radio, for Grant Danny drive you home. And with the return of football segment, football season, comes the return of our favorite segments that we like to bring up during the NFL, college, and high school football seasons. It's a Tuesday, and we haven't done a Dude Food in a while. I'm definitely going to try to get tacos tonight, as it's a Taco Tuesday. But on AWOD Radio, we highlight and honor the best plays from the weekend that ended with 6 points, tutties on the board on a Touchdown Tuesday.
Touchdown Tuesday. All the best scoring plays from the biggest showdowns across the National Football League.
Into the end zone for a touchdown.
Straight into the end zone for an unbelievable touchdown.
At the end of the day, all that matters is getting into the end zone.
Take it all the way for a touchdown.
Touchdown Tuesday on AWOD Radio.
So every year we track the touchdown leaders in high school, college, and the NFL. We are awaiting week one of the NFL season, but we'll get started with Touchdown Tuesday college football. And let's start with the passing touchdown leaders. There's Maverick McAvoy for Western Kentucky, who had 6 touchdowns to start the season for the Hilltoppers. Arkansas, 6 touchdowns from Taylor Green. And the new era at BYU with the new quarterback, Bear Bachmeyer, got things started with 6 touchdowns in week one, including this 22-yard touchdown pass. Let's take a listen to the call.
They've had big chunk yard runs here tonight, though. 2 in the 40s, 1 in the 50s. Now for the end zone. Ryan! Oh, he has it. What a catch. Touchdown.
Touchdown!
QB1 for the UConn Huskies, Joe Fognano, with 6 touchdowns, couple on the ground, couple through the air. Baron Morton at Texas Tech with 6. Rocco Becht with 4 at Iowa State. And Eli Holstein gets his next season started at Pitt with a win and 4 touchdowns. Top college receivers this year? Well, it has to start with Bo Sparks at Texas State and his 4 touchdowns over the weekend. Let's take a listen to the call.
Here's Jackson over the middle, and that is a first down and more. Bo Sparks and Texas State strikes first. I've seen one target so far tonight. That pass caught, and for the second time, Bo Sparks finds the end zone. Looks, fires, Sparks, third time tonight. Blitz from Eastern Michigan. Jackson thrown to the end zone. What a night, Bo Sparks. Make it 4.
Touchdown!
So we mentioned the quarterback for Western Kentucky, 6 touchdowns. His lead wide receiver, Katie Hutchinson, caught 3 of them. He's in our top 5, as well as Cam Pickett from Kansas and Cade Harris from Airport, who had 3 touchdowns over the weekend. Air Force, not Airport. Over to the top college football running backs in week one. I think you have to start with UNLV's Jaden Thomas, who had 4. Rayshon Luke at Fresno State had 4 as well. Justice Haynes got his era started at Michigan with 3. Willis gets into the end zone 3 times for Syracuse. And Kawan Lacey with Ole Miss had 3 touchdowns. Stubb, is there a play you wanted to highlight on a Touchdown Tuesday?
Yeah, I want to highlight a fake punt touchdown. For those watching the Boise State game with South Florida, fake punt turned 45-yard touchdown pass. Let's take a listen.
Who's going to break through at some point? Fake! He's got him! call. Singleton. Balls. Touchdown.
Tuesday. How about Arizona State? Last year, Cam Scadabo scatting into the end zone over and over again. He ends up in the draft and selected by the New York Giants. Here's the new running back for State into the end zone, a new 52-yard run.
The leader for ASU stepping up. A lot of room to run. Sam Levitt. There he goes. 10-5. Touchdown, Arizona State.
All right, let's get to some non-offensive touchdowns. How about a 95-yard pick six for SMU, the Mustangs, Ahmad Moses? Let's take a listen to the call on a Touchdown Tuesday.
To replace the center, Thursland. Here's Rodriguez trying to find it. Intercepted. It is picked off, and this is Moses. Ahmad Moses is going to take one to the house. Of 95 yards.
Tuesday.
Stubb, I'll go back to you for another highlight here on a Touchdown Tuesday, the best of college football week one.
Well, you know, I'm a Hokie, but I will get excited for a 100-yard kickoff return by the Hoos. Cam Ross went all the way. I mean, they were dominating all game, but this put him up 42-7.
Yeah, from the
Ross
Dukes
on the return.
The
watch out. He's got great speed. He's got the kicker beat. What a night for Cam Ross. Welcome to Charlottesville, young man.
How about Ohio State, one of the better games of the weekend? Carnell Tate with a 40-yard touchdown grab. Let's take a listen to the call.
Saying, looking, goes deep, saying, Tate, touchdown, Tater.
And then let's close things off here with Illinois in their 52-7 win, a 57-yard touchdown run to the house on a Touchdown Tuesday.
Looks like he throws it pretty well.
He gives a Loughery. He might go.
Oh, he's gone.
Aiden Loughery will have his second touchdown of the night.
I think we messed up here on a Touchdown Tuesday, Stubb. We should have had something from TCU. And their dominant victory over UNC, right? Was that even a game? 48-14. They were all over Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels. It started good for North Carolina. They got in the end zone with a Caleb Hood 8-yard run, and they were up 7-0. And then before you knew it, it was 27-7, then 34-7. Then 41-7 on a 37-yard fumble return for a touchdown. Your final score, 48-14. We definitely need to highlight the Horned Frogs of TCU and their week one victory over UNC. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. If there was an awesome play that resulted in a tutty from week one of college football and we missed it, give us a call. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. All season long, we track those who get into the end zone. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is getting across the goal line. UVA's quarterback Chandler Morris should have gone down. He told his head coach, "I saw the end zone. 2 yards away, I thought I could get in." He ends up with a shoulder injury, but we know how important it is to get into the end zone. So all season long, we'll track the touchdown leaders in high school, college, and the NFL every Tuesday on Touchdown Tuesday. Last year's Touchdown Tuesday Player of the Year represents the Vegas Raiders. We'll be playing on Sundays. That was Ashton Gentry, who was my Heisman winner out of Boise State, not Travis Hunter. We'll be looking forward to tracking him and his rushing touchdowns for the Raiders this year on Touchdown Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan.
Touchdown Tuesday!
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. for cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome back. Adam Epstein, you're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Hokies. And on Sunday, first half felt like a bit of a baseball game, 7-2 South Carolina. Your halftime score 10-8. Gamecocks get the win with a really good fourth quarter, 24-11. Joining us right now, as he does every Monday from Capitol Ale House in the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning hot seat, it's our buddy Hokie Steve, Steve Adams. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Adam? How are you?
Was that a moral victory?
I guess you could say it was, only because, you know, South Carolina puts up, what, two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, one a special teams touchdown. We've been talking about this for a couple months. Tech was the underdog in that game. They were going to have to do some things. They were going to have to take some things away from South Carolina, which they did. I thought they played pretty good against Lenora Sellers. But at the end of the day, what beat Virginia Tech, with a bad, bad pre-snap illegal formation penalty, which makes them re-kick it. And then that was kind of the dagger right there.
Yeah, I think you start special teams. I have to give them an F. I mean, you lost the game because of that. Defense, I will probably give them a B, and then offense, probably a C.
I would give the defense a B plus, because as I just told you off air, you know, other than that first drive, which Woodson did not play in that first drive, they sat him as a penalty. They brought him back in drive two. South Carolina did not score another touchdown for almost 3.5 quarters in that game. So I thought the defense, I thought Sam Sifkus, the new defensive coordinator, called a great game. I thought the D-line played really well, shuffling guys in and out all day long. I think I had 10 guys that played 10-plus snaps, which bodes well for this season. But again, I thought the guy that we thought had to be a great player for Tech this year, Kyron Jones, just did not have a good game.
No, and I might even be being nice to the offense, giving them a C-minus. Probably should be worse than that. 15 of 35, two interceptions. They were able to run the ball. I was interested. It was a lot of Marcellus Hawkins.
Well, I mean, that was the run. I mean, he had 15 carries for 58 yards, but his longest run of the day was only 11 yards.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing, too, with drones, you know, 15 of 35 is bad enough. Of course, everybody saw the stat Sunday night. If you were watching Notre Dame Miami game, 1 of 13 on South Carolina's side of the field, and then two interceptions, one horrendous interception thrown into double coverage in the end zone.
I mean, that changed the game. It changed everything about that game. And we say this in the NFL. You can't have a turnover in the red zone. You've got to at least have 3 points put on the board there.
Right.
I thought third downs was a problem all game long.
Yeah.
Good, very good defensively. You hold South Carolina 4-12. You're getting off the field. And then offensively, like you said, you couldn't even get past the 50-yard line, it felt like. And then when you did, it was nothing.
When you did, and then he just, again, he did not make the plays that we needed him to make, you know, one of 13. And, of course, there were some drops in there as well. I think the receivers had three really bad drops in that game. But he also, had I think he had Aiden Green deep open one time, overthrew him. He had Cam Seldon wide open as well for an easy what might have been a touchdown, I think, in the second quarter. So, Drones is 15 is 35 is bad enough, but one of 13 on the plus side of the field is even worse.
On the broadcast, they talked about how Shane Beamer was with his dad and saw year after year the offense struggle and the special teams make a play.
Yep.
And that's what happened on Sunday.
Yep.
It was Beamer Bowl.
Defense, and, well, again, defense and special teams is what got Virginia Tech on the map and for all those years. And certainly when the game was close, when it was 10-8 going into the fourth quarter, what made the play is that, but again, that was on us. That was on the Virginia Tech side of the ball. Again, if we don't line up in that illegal formation, they start that drive on their 28-yard line. They got to go 72 yards. And then sure enough, you have to re-kick it. Our guys are gassed a little bit. They just ran down the field. Sure enough, he makes a couple of plays and in the end zone. And, like I said, that was a backbreaker. Certainly the long pass to Harbor was really the backbreaker at the end of the game. But 24-11, if you told me if that was going to be the final score, I would have said, yeah, that probably sounds about right. I would have thought we would have scored at least one touchdown.
Talking Hokies here on Richmond's home for Virginia Tech football, 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM, with Hokie Steve and the Hadid Mercer rug cleaning hot seat. I'm disappointed by this result. I really am, but I will say South Carolina is a good team. I think that they are going to compete in the SEC for sure be a top-half team that maybe sneaks into the college football playoffs. At times, Sellers looked like a Heisman candidate. At times.
The way he was certainly running. In the first drive.
Yeah. But and then that deep pass as well, right? And there were a lot of third downs that I thought he just picked up himself because he was kind of wise and picking his spots there. But I think the most frustrating part to me was we pointed at this at last year. Got to close games. All right, well, we changed the strength and conditioning coach. That's going to help us.
Yeah.
They ran out of gas in the fourth quarter again.
Yeah, I mean, they did, but again, you when you kick field goals and you don't score touchdowns, what happens?
Yeah.
You lose football games. And we can go back to many things, but they ran out of gas. But, the offense had to help them out, and they just couldn't do it. Hey, John Love's a great field goal kicker. He might be the one All-American on that team.
Yeah, 56-yarder.
56-yarder, 3 of 3. He's kicked 4 50-yard field goals or more in NFL stadiums. He had one in Charlotte last year in the bowl game, 2 in Miami last year, and then the one Sunday. Maybe we should play all of our games in NFL stadiums.
How'd you feel about the guys that we sat down with at ACC kickoff? Like, Kelvin Gilliam was good.
I was going to say, I mentioned the D-line earlier. I thought Kelvin Gilliam had a great game. I thought Laws had a really good game.
Kamari Copeland
had a really good game, and all those three guys are going to be a big part of this team this year. Donovan Green, I thought he had a good game. 3 receptions for 94 yards. I targeted 5 times. Bad personal foul after he had that great catch. I thought Aiden Green played well as well. We didn't talk to him necessarily, but I thought Donovan Green was really good. He made some big plays that we needed. He just needs to make more of them.
Yeah. Let's get to the most important part, though, which is the QB review.
Yeah.
It's not good enough.
It's not good enough for a fifth-year quarterback. I mean, that's the bottom. We're not talking about a freshman or a sophomore, and that's kind of what he played like, right? This is a fifth-year guy. We need Kyron Drones to be a significantly
better. But he also wasn't good enough running.
Yeah. I mean, I think you had, what, 12
carries for 26 yards.
Yeah. And again,
with his size, he should be getting 3 yards a carry.
I don't know that I necessarily want him carrying the ball that many times, to be honest with you. I'd rather them, get the ball. But again, the running game Sunday was Marcellus Hawkins, and that was about it. I mean, they didn't have any – Stewart did not play. Again, he got banged up in the fall camp, and he did not play. But I thought Hawkins ran well, but he was the only guy back there.
Now that I'm looking at the box score breakdown, having watched this whole game and seeing the momentum flippers, I think you could say the defense gave an A performance. They got the safety. Right, they had 4 sacks of a Heisman candidate quarterback.
Right.
They got off the field on third down 8 times. They got stops. the defense performed. It's just so freaking annoying that the special teams had a disaster and that the offense had two turnovers and one in the red zone.
Yeah. Well, again,
you can't win that game.
Again,
you're never going to win a game against a top 25 team.
If you lose
like that.
A special teams battle, if your quarterback plays like that, quite honestly, if you had told me pregame, hey, you're going to lose a turnover battle 2-0, and here's drone stats for the game, I would have said, we're going to lose a lot more than 24-11. But, you know, the defense kept us in the game. And that's, again, that's the bright spot I'm taking away from the game is, but again, what did I tell you? What have I been telling you for 2 months? The biggest game of the season was not two days ago. It's Saturday night in Blacksburg.
The Hokies made me sound really brilliant when I went on South Carolina radio on Friday morning. They asked me three things that could lead to the Hokies winning this game. I said no special teams disasters, getting off to a fast start, and limiting the turnovers. Slow start, special teams disaster, and they lost the turnover battle.
Yeah, yeah. That's gonna lose you a lot of football games, Adam, to be honest with you. And especially, you know, a tight one like that.
Yeah.
So
can you point to a bright spot here? Can you get me excited for the Hokies against Vanderbilt?
It's a night game in Blacksburg. How about that?
Yeah.
So I mean, but again, the defense is a bright spot. John Love is a bright spot. Certainly, he's a weapon for the Hokies. But they've got they've got a guy coming in Saturday night from Vanderbilt, a guy named Diego Pavia, who tore him up last year.
Yeah.
And I looked at they were playing Charleston Southern the other day, and I know, you know, they won 45-3, and I think Charleston Southern kicked a field goal with like 10 seconds to go, not to get shut out. But he was 20 of 25 for like 280 and three scores. So, I mean, and he can play. That kid can play.
After you lose to Shane Beamer, I think there's going to be a lot of talk about the head coach. Did you feel like Coach Pry had the guys ready to play? Because it's hard to say yes with how the first drive looked.
I don't know, but I watched TCU play last night, and obviously you did too. I mean, how did they look in the first drive?
Right.
Hideous.
Yeah.
But they made up for it. But again, they scored touchdowns, and we kicked field goals. I saw a lot of games where maybe the team that got the ball first goes right down the field. You make adjustments, things like that. We certainly made adjustments on the defensive side. We just didn't do, you know, hardly anything on the offensive side. You know, 2 points, 5 points at the half, 8 points at the end of the third quarter, no touchdowns in the game. You're not going to win. You're not going to beat a team like South Carolina or Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Unless you punch, you know, get some scores.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious the passing game needs to be better, but I think the whole offense is.
I think the offensive line, too, I would have probably given them a C at best.
Yeah.
I thought they need to work. They need to give Drones a little bit more time to make throws because, obviously, he's – and I thought, okay, clock management, here's another thing we talked about all last year. How about right before halftime when they had the ball? I think they had the ball at like 1:56 right after South Carolina kicked a field goal, 1:56 left. And they had, I think, two plays. They were up around midfield. And then they let 30 seconds run off the clock or something like that. And they ended up having to kick a long field goal, which Love nailed. But my thought is that, guys, you had plenty of time to go down there and have a decent shot at getting 7 right before half. And you kind of screwed that up, too. So
yeah.
Wasn't happy with the clock management there. I thought they wasted a lot of time, especially when they had the ball at midfield.
Yeah, it's what's frustrating is it's the same issues as the previous season or even the season before that.
Yeah,
I want to believe in Coach Pry, but you know, we heard him on the postgame show with Bill Roth, just pointing to a lot of things that maybe are out of his control, but you're going to point to the head coach. So when you have a disaster like that on special teams, when you have the penalties add up, and when you have the turnovers.
Well, again, the buck stops with him, right? He's the head guy. You know, overall, I don't want to talk about moral victories because that just doesn't.
But it could have been worse
at this point. But it also could have been better too. I'll throw that out and say, hey, what Virginia Tech needs to do is, obviously, it's one game. It's 1-12. You're at home. You got a night game in Blacksburg. It's going to be a great crowd. You got to take advantage of it. And Drones has got to play a heck of a lot better. The defense can bring that. That's a winning effort to me on the defensive side. You bring that effort every week. Tech can win a lot of ball games. Offense has got to step up.
That is Hokie Steve, who's with us in the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. One game on their schedule got a little bit more difficult after the weekend. That was Florida State beating Alabama. We'll go around college football in the state of Virginia and nationally with University Drive next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.